Blog Talk Radio.
Fasten your seatbelts. The foremost authority on 9/11, the best-selling author of Methodical Illusion, and a researcher extraordinaire, Rebecca Roth is about to step up to the microphone and launch into Reality Check, where the light will shine brightly upon the truth.
Live from Las Vegas, Nevada, home of the continuing 4th of July party, started yesterday and cruises on through until sometime late Monday night. It's the Rebecca Roth Show, and with me is our star, Rebecca Roth, and I'm the host, Ramjet, looking for fireworks.
Well, hey, Ramjet, how is it down there, hot?
It's not as hot as it was in Henderson last week.
Well, good, maybe you can get some golfing in.
What I'm excited to do is get on the high roller tomorrow. I've got my $30 ticket and I'm going to be watching fireworks from the top of the Ferris wheel. And I hate Ferris wheels.
Yeah. Last time I was in Vegas, when I looked at that, I thought to myself, for some reason that just reminds me of the Patriot Hotel from Methodical Illusion.
Oh, and now you tell me.
Every time I see airplanes taking off there in Vegas, I think about that scene from the Methodical Illusion and that 747 crashing into the Patriot Hotel. What a vision that is. It's kind of crazy.
Well, last week the airport was kind of crazy. I mean, they were flying around all over the place. I mean, typically Las Vegas, flights come in from the east and they land, or they come in, from the north and they land. But they were coming in from the west. They were coming in from the south. They were taking off sideways. It was just a little bizarre. The whole thing was bizarre.
Must have had some thunderstorms somewhere around the area.
Las Vegas is bizarre. But they got good fireworks.
Yeah, well, you're going to have three more days of fireworks down there, I bet.
I've lived my whole life to have 4 days of 4th of July.
Yeah, most places have one night, usually the 4th. It's usually the night of the 4th. Monday night's going to be crazy, I guess. Well, let me give you a quick update on the methodical conclusion before we start on our show. Things are looking really good. I should have a copy of the proof of the book probably by the 8th or sooner. I'm guessing maybe the 9th, somewhere in there, 7th, 8th, 9th. Depends on, the postage. And I know they usually get out there, but it depends on everything coming together. But that's my guess. If I look at it and there's no pages upside down, everything looks good.
And it will look good.
So far, it's looking really good. Then what I do is just say, okay, let's do it. And it will go on Amazon. I know they say it takes 3 days, but usually it happens in 12 to 24 hours. I've never seen it take more than 3 days. Once we give the approval, then it's really quick. And so then it'll go on Amazon. So my best guess is somewhere between the 13th, maybe as early as the 12th, and the 15th, somewhere in there, it's going to show up on Amazon. So if you follow me on Facebook, and if you don't, you can go to any of the websites that are going to be in the description box and just follow along, because I will post out then updates when it's on Amazon, and we'll do our pre-sale until the 15th of July.
How is your pre-sale going?
It's going great. And this group of people who have already signed up or have sent me Facebook messages that are going to sign up and buy the book or buy a set are the ones really that have pushed me day and night. So in a couple of days here, once everything slows down and the proof is being printed and everything's good, I'm going to take 2 days and stay in bed and just rest. But there's just more stuff coming. I know this is the end of this methodical series, but that's not the end of my writing. I can tell you that.
Well, what I heard that, if they purchase on the presale, their credit cards don't get charged until the books actually get shipped to them.
Oh, that's true.
Which is nice. It just kind of sits there and and vibrates. And
yeah,
so the
exactly.
books are actually in your hand and you can autograph them and send them out.
And those people that have been saying, when's that third book coming? You are the people that kept me going, man. I'll have to tell you. I think you'll really like the book. There's a lot more information that I have that isn't in the book. And just to kind of let you know some of the stuff that I have uncovered, if you remember, if you've looked into the 9/11 truth, and you'll remember a pilot, if he actually flew for United, he used to be a CIA pilot as well, Philip Marshall. And all I can say about Philip Marshall, we all know that he was in the Pinal Boneyard. He was in the wrong boneyard. And you're going to find out more about this in the third book. There's more information about what hit the Pentagon and where it launched from. And then there's some other interesting aircraft that, you know, for this book, I know the trolls can't handle this, but this isn't me. This research has been done by people that have stepped up to the plate. These are real, honest-to-goodness truthers. These aren't Facebook people. These aren't people who live bloviating BS about 9/11 and know nothing. These aren't people that were 8 years old or 10 years old when 9/11 happened. These are professionals that have been in the industry, like I was in the aviation for 32 years.
And they're not selling T-shirts and pencils.
That's true, too. These are people that have come to me and said, how can I help? And, you know, I could not read the Freedom of Information Act data. I could read some of it, of course. Some of it's in English. The typed transcripts are pretty good. Most everybody can read those, but if you don't know what you're looking for, and I didn't. I had never seen a facility log from an air traffic control center. I didn't know what they were all about. I know a lot more now, and it isn't because I'm self-taught so much as it is that these wonderful, incredible, I hate to use the word patriot because it's been smashed so much by lunatics, but really great Americans that have a desire for the truth to come out. And what we've uncovered is so amazing. You know, yesterday I met up with some people that weren't involved with my book, but they were both some military, and they had both had very long careers in the military. And when I had a long conversation with them about what is coming out and some of the stuff that I found that I just haven't even put in this book, and just even, I hate to admit this, but just even about an hour before this show started, I was in some radar, just like crazy. Because there is more stuff there, but they listened, and having both been in the military for 30 years or so, thereabouts, neither one of them were shocked when I told them. As shocked as I still am, neither one of them, they were really shocked about it. So they were in long enough to know that what I've uncovered is probably, well, it's true because it's in the Freedom of Information Act data right there in black and white. So,
actually, if you want to see something funny, you should see Rebecca up to her armpits in radar.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's really interesting because one of the things that I have discovered is that in the Freedom of Information Act data, not only is it hard to read unless you know what you're looking at. I've learned a lot now. I know what flight strips are. You're going to hear these things. You're going to read these things in the book because as best as I could, I brought them into the story to close this up, to conclude this for you so you understand what we discovered. And when I say we, this is a team of aviation experts that have stepped up to the plate. And together we have uncovered things right here in government documents. This isn't a conspiracy. It isn't BS. It isn't a bloviating bunch of garbage from someone who would like to have no airplanes flew that day. No, not only did airplanes fly that day and the four airplanes that were involved that day, but some other real interesting planes are in the sky. So on that note, let me just say this too, because somebody asked me the other day about the terabyte of Freedom of Information Act stuff, all the information. It is so complicated. And every day that I dive in there, now I've learned how to do searches and I can look for certain specific aircraft, transponder numbers, certain codes and that sort of thing. So it's a little bit easier now for me. It's a little better now that I have a grip on it because a terabyte, it's not quite a full terabyte, but I've added some stuff to it. It's a lot of information.
Well, the other thing that I found fascinating was that the air traffic controllers kind of have their own hieroglyphics that they use in, you know, recording information. And it all makes sense to them because they all know the hieroglyphic. But to somebody that's on the outside and has never seen this, you know, there's circles and squares and triangles and arrows and dots and it means something. And
well,
now that
true.
You know what it means, you know, it's a lot more entertaining than it had been.
Well, that's true. And I have learned just so much. Before the air traffic controllers came on, I was literally teaching myself how to do this. And yet there are things that are region specific. And so there's kind of like shorthand and there's a language of its own. We had this in the airline. I mean, I now know that I could talk to people that were non-airline and it went right over their head because I was using terminology that they just weren't familiar with. So that, you know, they, I would look at them, their eyes were crossed and glazed over and they're like, what? But yeah, it's just like every other career, I guess.
But the other thing that I know has been helpful to you is the fact that these airline professionals recognize particular airplanes by various codes that you wouldn't have known. I mean, it's not going to say Boeing 737 from Delta necessarily. Mm-hmm. It might say that, but you know, they've been able to find things that wouldn't stand out to an average run-of-the-mill layperson. But to these guys that see these kinds of aircraft day in and day out, they can say, hey, Rebecca, guess what? I know what this is.
Yeah. Well, that's very true. And, you know, I have to admit that when I first started going through this stuff, and it's been a long time, it's been, I think, about a year and a half that I've had this. And when I first started looking through it, I remember now the specific files that we found stuff in. I didn't know what I was looking at. That's why I just kind of went online. I was looking up acronyms and the shorthand for FAA and for air traffic control and stuff. And so when now looking back, when I've said, well, I've had questions about this file. What does this say to you? And then when I get the rest of the story from the guy, it's like, oh my gosh, now I look back and now I have the eyes of 20/20 hindsight, you know? And it was my intuition that told me to keep that file and ask somebody. So a lot of intuition has come into this whole thing. And to me, it's almost borderline miraculous what has happened to people that have come
through. It's kind of like teaching yourself Egyptian without any Egyptian people around you. And when they come into the picture, then all of a sudden your Egyptian gets better.
Yeah, well, that's true. As a matter of fact, so you kind of have an idea. Once I have a little bit more time, I'll try to put some of the stuff up. Somebody wanted to know, would I make some sort of a Google Dropbox kind of thing for this Freedom of Information Act data. It's not top on my priority right now. Not sure exactly, just because I got all kinds of stuff going on, exactly the best way to make this available. Because for one thing, you kind of have to know what you're looking at to know what you're looking for. And there isn't much of the puzzle left unsolved. So if you want to do it, that's cool. You're not probably going to find anything new that we haven't uncovered. It's just not a
problem. But you never know.
Well, that's true. I mean, I was just an hour ago looking at something like, okay, we got to have a conference here. So I'm Skyping out to my team, my aviation team members. And you know, the cool thing is that they all have roughly 30 years, maybe a little bit more. Some of them have been around in aviation and air traffic control since the Vietnam War. So we're not all spring chickens.
Yeah, but you know, your book was ready to go and you had to say, hold the phone because you found something that was pretty important that needed to be included. So who knows?
Yeah, well, like I said, this series is done, but that doesn't mean I'm finished writing. And I will, after I take a little vacation, I will consider putting together a nonfiction and, you know, just tell my story, what happened to me. And then I'll bring out all of the documents So those people that are listening that like to troll, yes, you will be honorably mentioned in the troll section because the jig is up for some people. And here's the thing for me. Now, having been an aviation professional and then not being an internet person and not growing up with computers and understanding what trolling and this nastiness that goes on online is all about, I never knew that people were this ugly. And what it shows me as an airline professional on behalf of the flight crews that lost their jobs, you people really suck because you don't care about the truth. All you care about is putting yourself on top of a pig pile. And that's why you put other people down and make up lies and try to discredit someone or their career or their life or their job or their hair or their glasses or their weight. You people just suck. That's why you're trolls. So, you know, it's really unfortunate. When I learned this, I said many times to my husband, well, no wonder they never figured out what happened on 9/11. They're too busy putting each other down. They're too busy trolling each other and fighting. It's all over now. The conclusion of this whole thing is going to be in print here pretty quick. Now, since it's not me, you're going to have to troll my whole aviation team, I guess. But we don't give a shit about you. We really don't. You guys are such losers, absolute losers and liars and just ticks. You're ticks on life. You should be disgusted with yourself because you know what? I get email every single day telling me how disgusted the general public is with you, how stupid you are to do such a thing. And I guess this is just a result of having social media where you can go and be a bully. And you can pick on people and lie about people, and there's nothing really they can do. Well, there is some things they can do, because the FBI does like to know this stuff. It is a cyber crime, by the way. So do be careful. But anyway, we're going to talk today about...
Fasten your seatbelt. It's going to be a bumpy night.
We're going to talk about psychology and the psychology around and surrounding 9/11. And one of the things I get often from people is how do you prevent people from calling you a conspiracy nut? Well, don't act like one. Everything that happens is not a conspiracy. You can look at things with eyes wide open and you can question things, but everything is not a conspiracy. And sometimes, like on 9/11, real people really do die because we've had lots of people really dead from 9/11. So, you know, just don't act like a conspiracy nut. That's my first, you know, thing I say. Now, if you want to help somebody wake up out of what's commonly called cognitive dissonance, and you have to understand the reason I wrote Methodical Illusion is to help wake people up out of cognitive dissonance. Why? Because I was in it just like everyone else that is still in it. As an airline professional, it was nearly impossible for me, as I discovered, just like with Vera Hansen in the Methodical Illusion, as I discovered the hijacker still alive and the nanothermite and the thermite chips and all of the things Dr. Stephen Jones brought out and all of the stuff that I did, it was so difficult. But the hardest thing I found is this last book.
Well, the reason it's difficult is because cognitive dissonance keeps you safe. You know, it keeps your worldview intact. And when you have something that all of a sudden alters that or changes that, you have to step out of where you're safe spot is, mm-hmm. and you begin to feel vulnerable. And so people don't want to do that. I mean, human nature is such, I mean, you talk about Maslow's hierarchy mm-hmm. of needs, you know, right there on the first level is safety.
Yeah.
They want to be safe. And as long as they can keep their mind safe, then chances are, you know, their bodies and souls are going to follow right behind that. And so they don't want to venture out into places that are deep and dark and scary. And, you know, we've come across thousands of people that fall into that category with regards to 9/11, for example, because 9/11 if you don't believe the government story, all of a sudden you're not safe anymore.
Well, that's very true. And I can just remember that day that I discovered those hijackers were still alive, and my brain couldn't make it function. It was like I was believing, if I was believing the BBC article, I was believing what the TV showed us. I couldn't believe both of them. But sometimes cognitive dissonance allows us to believe completely conflicting stories, completely conflicting. And I think that a lot of people, especially because we have been raised, and I know my generation sure has, I know the younger kids now, they're all coming to me and saying 9/11 is an inside job.
But I need to explain your generation to your audience. I've often seen Rebecca wearing a shirt that says, I may be old, but I got to see all the good bands. That describes her generation in a nutshell.
Well, that's true. I did get to see all the good bands. But what happens is with us, we want to believe the government is there, like FDA, the FAA, the EPA, all of these agencies, and partly because they deliver that to us. We're here to for your own safety. We're checking your meat and your chicken, and we're checking your drugs, and we're checking on your, you know, flight safety, and we're checking on your air quality, and it's all for you to be safe. And it's impossible. It's nearly impossible. It can be done. But it's very difficult to, when you realize that, oh, well, that really it's a big pharma behind the FDA, or really they aren't about keeping us healthy. They're really about pushing pharmaceuticals on us. And so you start to see things differently, and it's very hard to step out of that thinking that the government is there with our safety in mind, because they're not. They certainly aren't now. I mean, even a decade ago, I don't think it was so much, but it seems to get worse every year. Now that we're mandated to purchase insurance, whether you use a physician or not, maybe you know, you like to use a natural remedy, like that naturopathic doctor or chiropractor or something, still they're going to force you to take pharmaceuticals. Not long ago, I talked to a woman whose husband was on Medicare, and she told me that they wouldn't let him leave the doctor's office without a prescription for a drug, pharmaceutical. And they said, we don't care. You just have to go cash it. And we don't care if you throw it in the garbage. So maybe that's why all those salmon up around Seattle, they found out were full of oxycodone and Prozac. I read an article about that. It's like, you know, I kind of stopped eating seafood after Fukushima. And I thought, well, it's a good thing because I don't need either one of those drugs. But, you know, I guess the fish have a tendency to pick up drugs that go into the water if you flush pills down the toilet, or apparently they don't process through your system. So when you go tinkle, you flush the toilet, it goes down into the system and it goes out into the water that the salmon live in. So those, some of those drugs can hang out for a long time, apparently, I guess, if they're finding it in salmon meat, you know, the body of the fish. You know, it's kind of interesting. But, you know, again, if you look instead of at the FAA, you look at the FDA or the EPA. You see chemtrails flying around. You see all that aluminum and barium and strontium and whatever they're spraying on us. Well, where's the EPA? Where are the environmentalists? How come nobody says anything about those? They're not natural. They're not daily. What are they? What is that stuff? I mean, nobody seems to want to know, ask that question.
Cognitive dissonance.
There you go. Oh, yeah. Hey, those are normal. Those are normal flight paths. No, they're not. They only come here once every 2 or 3 weeks.
Well, you just said something that's interesting. That's the way people react to keeping themselves safe.
Yeah.
They'll say weird things like, well, I wouldn't believe that even if it were true.
Well, that's very
true. Which really, really, you know, circumscribes exactly what cognitive dissonance is. You know, I am not going to step out of this box for hell or high water. And,
yeah.
You know, it can be true all it wants to be, but I'm not going there.
I don't want to look at the evidence. I don't need to look at the evidence. You know, they can just say, well, you know, it's just too negative for me. I don't want to face it. And so people ask me this all the time, and you have to understand, not everybody gets a ticket to the truth train. Quite simply, not everybody's going to wake up. Not everybody's going to survive to the end. So you don't have to. But the best way, I mean, I just have to tell people, I think And only because I say this, because I've gotten thousands of emails from people thanking me for waking them up. They always knew, they had an inkling, they had an intuitive feeling. They didn't see a plane crash at Shanksville, or they didn't see a plane crash in the Pentagon. They saw a circular hole in the Pentagon.
But they don't want to be confronted, because not only do they not want to be moved out of their safe zone, they don't want to have to deal with somebody that's going to kick and scream and drag them out of their safe zone.
Yeah.
And so they avoid being confronted by people that know the truth, even if they know they know the truth.
Well, and I think that's why the novel, the fiction of Vera Hansen in her cognitive dissonance, and they relate to her. She doesn't want to know. She and her husband, who had passed away, they never talked about it, even though he was in the airline too. They just didn't go there. They didn't talk about it. And she was safe that way. She didn't have to face the reality that way. And let me just say this, because I did fly for 3 years or so after 9/11. It's very, very difficult to question the United States military and the United States government are not going to be there for your passengers as a flight attendant. Now, I know that some American flight attendants are listening to the story. So on that note, I saw my sticky note here to say, be sure and say hi to the American flight attendants, because I know that the methodical illusion is flying through American Airlines right now. And I wrote the book to help people wake up to understand what really happened. I had no idea that this group of aviation experts were going to join me and that I would be sitting here today on the verge of launching my third book that exposes everything. I mean, through all three books, you're going to know. There will be no doubt in your mind. You can contact me in email if you're confused. I don't use names, but you get to do a little bit of research, because you can pretty much figure it all out.
You know, kind of, there's also a flip side to this whole argument, and that is, and then probably the best example of this is what's, you know, kind of on the forefront today with regards to the sealed 27 pages about the Saudi government. And, you know, they want to know what's in there. And I think essentially what's in there is that the Saudi government were involved with some of these hijackers in terms of, you know, financial support and different kinds of things. But here's the issue, and it's the key issue. As long as the premise is wrong, and in this case, the premise was that these people actually were hijackers, it doesn't matter where you go looking for the truth, you're never going to find it. And so maybe Saudi Arabia was helping some of these guys, but they had absolutely nothing to do with 9/11.
It doesn't explain how 10 of the hijackers are still alive.
I mean, it doesn't explain a lot of things.
But, you know, it's 28 pages, by the way. And the 20...
Sorry.
The 28 pages,
I'm just a fireworks expert.
I have pretty good, a source. That in the 28 pages, they're kind of a diversion right now. In the 28 pages, the footnotes happen to mention something I mentioned in Methodical Deception, the Israeli Mossad involvement. So they're not going to become public until they're rewritten, if that's the truth. So, but to me, it's just it's a side thing. I mean, just a few years ago, there was a Jewish judge in New York that blamed Iran. There were no Iranians on board. Iranians and are Shiite Muslim, and these guys were supposedly Sunni Muslim. I don't know what kind of Muslims they were, if they're hanging out with pink-haired strippers and snorting cocaine and drinking alcohol. It's kind of like that guy from Orlando. Okay, he really wasn't one either. But I saw a little bit of similarities there, because that's not correct behavior for someone who, especially as a radical Muslim, but any Muslim. I mean, you just don't. It's like Mormons. I mean, you're just not going to see drunk Mormons. You might see a drunk Jack Mormon, but you're not going to see someone who really takes their religion seriously. So it's just, there's so much sidetracking, but there's something else that goes on big time that I've uncovered huge in the 9/11 truth movement and over 9/11 in general. And that is, there are actually people that spent a military career in PSYOPs, psychological operations, that are out spreading lies about other people that are actually doing the real research with teams of aviation experts, much like myself. Well, think about that for just a second. I'm not in PSYOP. I'm not a CIA agent either. I've had some great laughs over it, however. But they were 20 years, 18 years, and you know, one of them has been in prison for 2 years. So are you going to trust that guy? He's in psychological operations. What psychological operations? This is what you see on your mainstream media, on TV. They're telling you, over 9/11, they actually weaponized a religion, Islam. And they're continuing that today, every single chance they get. Well, go look and see who owns our media. This is a no-brainer. This is real simple. There are three major religions. So just think about it. Go do your little research, because this is a real easy one to figure out. Why are they doing this? It's a psychological operation. It's legal to sit in a TV studio and lie to an audience. It's totally legal. Our government made propaganda be legal. So you're getting it. And that's, you have to understand who is at the head of the table. Who's giving the directions? One of the things I mentioned a couple of weeks ago was when this Brexit thing happened, how amazed I was to hear Judge Jeannie Pirillo and Rush Limbaugh both speak about the elite and the cabal, as we know them, the New World Order. These are the globalists. They're all the same thing. They have a gazillion different names. But they're also the people who own the stations that they're both working under. So I was like, oh, maybe that's a one-time event. Maybe they're starting to figure out, uh-oh, if we don't stop the New World Order. And one of the ways that happened, if you stop and look back at 9/11, what happened to your personal freedom? Because now we know it was a charade. And you're going to learn about that in the methodical conclusion. You're going to learn about some of the people that you didn't know really were involved. Some of the aircraft that were involved. Some of our politicians. Some of our top-ranking military. It's not an easy thing to swallow, trust me.
That's why you have a sore throat. You've been trying to swallow this.
I have been, actually, for a couple of weeks now. It is a hard one to swallow, I have to tell you. It is. This one shook me to my core. I remember the SGT report on YouTube that I did with Sean. And the title was, "This Will Shake You to Your Core." And I guess I need to send him an email. But this research that this team and I have shared has shaken me to my core. But what it's done to me also is made me see how dinky, teeny, tiny the troll community, the Facebook jerks, the jackasses that just like to make nasty comments of, you know, I don't really care if you don't like my hair, my glasses. I don't care if you don't like my voice. I don't care. You don't have to read my books. You don't have to bring other people's lives in danger and make up crap that isn't true either. But you do.
Well, I care if they don't like Ramjet, and they're starting not to like Ramjet. Can you imagine that? Sweet,
well,
lovable me, fireworks expert extraordinaire, and they don't like me.
I just can't believe that. As a matter of fact, I was going to tell you, Ramjet, the other day I saw a YouTube. I didn't watch it, but the title was about who is Ramjet. Well, some people really, like I said earlier, don't care about the 9/11 truth. They just want to make you hate on Ramjet. God only knows what kind of BS they're saying, but it's just nonsense. And so what happened to me with this last group that has come forward to help me figure this out, I realized how freaking huge this is. And so a lot of those people that are out there trolling and claiming I'm 15 different people or a chemist or something else, have to be on a payroll of some sort. They can't all be junior high girls stuck in an old man's body. I mean, really, they just can't. It's just nonsense. This thing was so gigantic, people, that when you read it, and you take some time to digest, I guarantee you'll read this book twice. Because when it hits home, how big this was, how many people have lost their lives over this, you're going to look at those trolls and they're going to be as tiny to you as they are to me. They mean absolutely nothing. They're not even a tick on a turd, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, it's comedy. How little. But at the same time, how big are those people that have stepped forward and said, I know something, and shared that something and put it all together. And together, this group, I'm telling you, we have unfolded this charade unlike anyone else. So, yeah, like I said, you can read the books or you can sit there and call names to people. I don't care.
Well, I know there's an example in the book of somebody who brought forth some information to you that on the surface wasn't horribly significant. But as you delve deeper into it, it really opened your eyes and opened the door to a very important piece of information. And I think you've portrayed some of that in your writings with that. But that's really the interesting aspect of this. And we get back to this psychological or the psychology of 9/11 truth. It's people who are just beginning to open their eyes and they're willing to talk about it. They're willing to say something about something that they think, oh, this probably doesn't really matter, but, you know, it's been bothering me.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't connect the dots. And so they tell you about it, and you've got all these dots
that come in
daily, as
that's
I understand.
That's some incredible dot connectors.
And you know, that's kind of what, you know, I guess that's why as a kid you were, you know, a dot-to-dot champion.
That was one of my favorite games, actually. I loved puzzles, and that's kind of why I chose the puzzle piece. But yeah, it's just, it truly, I mean, I have a hard time even talking about this because, as a matter of fact, I said to my husband the other day, I'm not sure I can even do interviews on this book because I just keep finding myself at a loss of what to say. I just like to have everybody read it and digest it and figure out if you can speak about it afterwards because I have a hard time doing it. I mean, it is just mind-boggling. I did the same thing. When I discovered that the phone calls all had to be made from the ground, logically, I said, well, they probably didn't use more than one area, one spot, one airport or one place. They probably wouldn't want to spread that out and make the chances of getting caught. They probably went to one location. And when I did the flight math and the phone calls all worked to that one location, man, I tried for about a month to make that not be true. I did not want that. I mean, I was in cognitive dissonance. I did not want that to be true.
Well, that's exactly what happens. I mean, if you talk to somebody about 9/11 and just kind of on the surface, and then you say, well, you know, question this yourself, you know, do phone calls work, cell phones work in the air? And you know they don't. And they'll always admit, yeah, I know they don't because everybody's tried it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows that it just absolutely doesn't work. And so that cracks open the door to this, you know, exit out of cognitive dissonance, and it scares them and they slam it shut.
Yeah, that's true.
And so, and that's how you can tell where they're at. If they will admit to you that cell phones won't work in the air, but they don't want to find out what that means.
Well, that's true. And it's, I mean, I can say this because I was there, and that's why I put Vera Hansen there. She didn't want to know. She was more comfortable there. She was still flying. She just did not want to get out of that safety zone. And that's where a lot of us are. We trust our government to keep us safe, and that's not necessarily what the truth is. And so it's really hard to step out. But it's impossible for you if you don't have an aviation career behind you to talk about this stuff. Let the book do it.
But I don't think you recognized at the time, and I could be wrong. You can correct me if I'm wrong. But as you were writing Methodical Illusion, really what it was in Vera's case that allowed her to step out of that was when her safety was challenged and threatened anyway. And when she realized that, you know, somebody was after her as a result of information that she didn't even really know she had,
mm-hmm.
That's when she decided to jump on board with Jim Bowman and go after looking into this, you know, on a deeper level. And she just dove right in and got up to the radar information right up to her armpits.
Right. And that's true. And you know, in Methodical Illusion, she'd also gone through a crisis in Paris with her coworker. She also definitely, when she got home, her house had been broken into. She'd almost been run over. Her dog had been hit by the car. And by at that point, she realized that this is some serious thing. I mean, it's just like if you walked out your door and you knew something and somebody took a pop shot at you, you would start to think, uh-oh, because what I know is really important to them that nobody else knows about it. That's one reason why I never talked about my book before. You know, my first book sat on a shelf for 2 years. I didn't ever talk to anybody about what I'd uncovered, because I wanted to be alive to get it out there in public. And after Coast to Coast AM with George Noory, thousands of people woke up. And that's why I tell people, it's not that I make a ton of money, because I'm not, there's no money in books. I mean, really, it is that it is the best way to wake people up. Take yourself out of the equation, let them get into the fantasy. It's a non-threatening way for them to break through their cognitive dissonance, and then they can email me and say, is this true? And is this true? And is this true? And then I'll correspond with them what they need to see. I mean, I have sent FBI documents to some people.
I think the real money is in pencils and t-shirts.
That could be.
You missed the boat.
Somebody is, by the way, I just haven't, sorry if you're listening, because there is someone who emailed me that wants to start putting together a t-shirt, Joel Sherman for president, and it'll have one of the websites hooked to the back, maybe methodicalillusion.com. I just have to send her the artwork, and I have been up to my eyeballs, and I also am fighting off a sore throat for the last like 3 days. Yes, I'm trying to swallow this hard truth, and it's ripped my throat. I don't know why. I just can't seem to. It's kind of lingering, and I can't quite get rid of it. It's not really making me sick, but it's, you know, it's just not comfortable. So it is kind of funny, though, because, you know, sometimes we have aches and pains and issues that are really psychological, like we were talking about. And, you know, it's easier for people to stay where they're at, but it's also easier for them to accept the truth in the form of fiction. Now, I have been beat up by 9/11 truthers for writing my books as fiction. My reason for writing the books as fiction was to wake people up. They're not going to read a nonfiction book about this. They're not going to sit and read this terabyte. I mean, if you saw this stuff, you'd think I was insane. That I'm still reading it, actually, this morning. It's not enjoyable reading, trust me. It's boring. It's stuff that's repeat. It's refiled, renamed, and it's the same stuff. Crazy. It is absolutely, it's a needle in a haystack, but putting together everything that we've found, now we know what the things to look for. It's easier to spot stuff now. So, and I have to say, I kudos to this group of Americans that have come forward, that have helped me bring this to you in a form, again, just like everything else. And this is the third book, and it follows book number two. You can just set two down and start reading three. And instead of reading a 900-page book, you can read all three of them. And then you will know everything that we have uncovered. I'm pretty much. I mean, there's still stuff I have, but it was impossible to work it into a fiction. I mean, you just can't put everything in there. So some of the stuff I'll be talking about in some interviews, because I probably will do some eventually. But
not as many as you've done in the past.
No, I'm tired, man. This is 19 months and three novels and a terabyte of Freedom of Information stuff. And
plus all the interviews you did.
Yeah, it's a lot. And, you know, I'm a grandma, eight now. So, you know, it's crazy. And plus I'm not safe. And so there's a little stress level there. And maybe that's my sore throat too. But yeah, this whole psychology of 9/11 and the whole psyop of the charade and the whole thing where George Bush came out and said, we're not at war with Islam. We went around and bombed 14 Islamic countries. And even to this day, and I just tell people as often as I get on Facebook, I usually find someone. If you think that Muslims all are out to kill you because you're a Christian or you're a Jew or you're something else, you'd have to ask yourself this question. How come ISIS hasn't gone to Israel? It's a 4-hour drive. We left them with a lot of great vehicles, lots of gas, free cheap gas. Why? Why would they come to New York? Or why would they go to Dallas? Or why would they go to Las Vegas when they're right there and they can just drive down the road and get their number one enemy? Because that's what the media has led you to believe. They hate Jews, right? Well, why? That's a 4 hours. They don't have to buy an airplane ticket. They don't have to worry about how they're going to get all their weapons over to our country. I mean, if you think you can go out and buy bonds, you speak English. They don't. How difficult do you think it'll be for them? Don't buy into this crazy crap. I mean, it is so much nonsense. Just remember that the CIA is really who controls the media. It's a narrative they're pushing. So you got to look and see. I mean, these people are not your friends. Trust me, they're not the friends of anyone, especially those crazy lunatics that have gone and spun off and formed these rogue mercenary groups. We know who they are, you know. They keep changing their name, but, you know, they all started out with the same name. And so it's just the same kind of thing. It's just like putting the pieces of the puzzle together with Orlando shooting, G4S, and the crisis actors all involved. I mean, hello? You don't really have to be a rocket scientist to figure some of this stuff out. It's just so poorly done. And why do they do it so poorly? Because most of the American people are that stupid that they sit in front of a television and believe whatever stuff is dished out to them.
They're in cognitive dissonance.
True, that
and
too.
They want to stay safe.
They want
and
to be
so
safe.
They will accept whatever baloney yeah. is presented to them.
It's like the paper passport.
As long as they can stay safe and
yeah.
don't have to think about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. We've got the paper passports that survived the tower when no titanium engine parts did. Nothing else did. No bodies, no airplane parts. I mean, come on. But we have a paper passport that did. And, you know, we also, with these shooters, a lot of times we get, well, there was one, I think it was in Paris, a suicide bomber's passport survived the suicide bombing. I don't think he threw it on the ground and then walked away from it. If you can believe that, you are watching way too much TV, I have to say. So, the same kind of thing with these shooters that come out with manifestos. The crazy people don't write manifestos. Come on, this is just nuts. We have a lot of agencies that like to set things up. Because if they can convince you that your neighbors or your neighborhood mosque is a den of hatred, well, then maybe they can cause a little problem. Remember this, people, that a civil war cannot happen when people are united. And that's why you see so much division. Between religious groups, between black and white, between Americans and Mexicans, you see that kind of division because the one thing that threatens the New World Order is that we are united as one people. They want to be a New World Order, a one world government, but they want us divided. So we need to wake up and stop hating each other. And realize that all of that hatred that you're getting from television, I have to say, I stopped watching Fox News quite a long time ago because I just caught them in so many lies. But they're the worst for spreading hate, I think. But, you know, see, I have to say this. I'm going to correct myself. CNN spreads hate more locally, I think, which now that brings me back to someone I had to remove from my group not long ago. That when the Egypt Air 804 Airbus crash happened south of Greece, rather than wait for the black boxes or wait for an investigation, this jerk was in there, you know, Muslims did it, terrorists, Muslim terrorists, blah, 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 blah. Well, first off, in any airplane incident, you have to wait for the black boxes. They have recently come up with the data. And they have only partially read the data recorder, not the voice recorder yet. Both of the boxes were somewhat damaged, but they can all this stuff can be revived. They're pretty darn good at this. And so a couple days ago, they did come out and they did say that that plane crashed due to a fire on board. So it most likely was an electrical fire. Started in the front end of the aircraft, in the cockpit, between the bathroom and the cockpit is a huge wall of circuit breakers, and behind each one of those circuit breakers are wires. So we could have just had, you know, an electrical fire. But the problem is, if fire's in a pressurized cabin, spread extremely quickly. And that is our worst nightmare as a crew member. And so what happened with that airplane, more than likely the avionics, which is located on underneath the cockpit down below, also gave an ACARS message that it was way too hot or on fire and smoke in the avionics bay, which is underneath where the cockpit, the pilots sit. That's a computer. That's the flight computer. So that makes the whole airplane go. And so when that thing caught on fire, that airplane just fell out of the sky. So, I mean, but if you remember what CNN was doing, remember CNN had all the CIA specialists and they were telling us that it was terrorists. They were just sure it was terrorists. Well, they just shut the heck up and immediately once they found the wreckage, they knew they would find the black boxes. They just don't say anything anymore because they were spreading their hate. And so when you start to have eyes that open up and ears that can hear things that are truthful, then what happens to you is when you turn on the boob tube, I have to call it the boob tube. I heard it called that once before. It is for boobs who sit there and watch it and believe any of that crap. If you look at the television, you would be wise to look to see why, what are they trying to make you think? They're nudging you in a direction. They're trying to divide you between who, you and who. Now, maybe you're a Muslim. Maybe they're trying to divide you between you and Jews or you and Christians or whatever. But maybe you're black. Or maybe they're trying to divide you between you and whites or you and Mexicans, Hispanics. Just pay attention because you, if you watch a television set, especially the news, but even on the television programs, you're going to see this if you're awake to it. But the news is the worst because why? Because we in this generation that we're in, we would trust the news. We trust the government. And so when you start waking up to realize what the government did on 9/11, you start to look and see what they're doing to you when you watch the news. Then you have a reason to turn it on to see what, how are they manipulating me? How are they trying to manipulate me? That's the only reason I turn it on now, unless there's an airplane crash. But then I start to see how they're manipulating the masses by pushing a false agenda.
Oh, you just turned that on to watch Richard Quest.
Yeah, my favorite aviation expert.
Oh, he's not only aviation, though. Okay. He's also government information.
Yeah,
now,
I know.
Because he did Brexit.
I saw him. I watched the Brexit vote. So, yeah, it's interesting. But you see that same kind of trolling that happens in the truth movement. What has happening to the people who voted to get out of the EU? We talked about that last week, I think, but it was just, it's crazy. Well, that's the way society is now. Everybody can be an ass, so they are. And, you know, I mean, if you're going to scoop down that pile of poo, you're going to stay down there. It doesn't smell very good down there. But that's your choice. I mean, you can rise above it. You can walk in the truth. You can, you know, for me, what happens is people that are petty now look really, really tiny. And I think the reason is because the guys that join me are really huge. They're big. They're important. They're people that were in extremely important positions in the government, in science, in education, in military. And these people are huge. And so it makes the little people look really tiny and they smell bad. And really, I mean, it just is truly amazing to see. So I'm standing in a position where I have a 30,000 foot view of life. And right now, to me, I'm in an alternate universe. And when you finish reading Methodical Conclusion, I bet you read it twice. And I bet you are in that same alternate universe. And when you realize what really did happen and how it was done and by whom, and those three books will do that. And if you want to wake somebody up, you can give them a set for Christmas. Because I think the set price in the in my online bookstore for autographed books is the best deal you can get on all of them. I don't think you can get that kind of a deal on Amazon. They're not selling them in a box set or anything. You don't get the bookmarks and all that. So if you just want to give your favorite reader a set of books and see what happens. I can't tell you how many people have emailed me and said, thank you, I read your book. I gave it to my parents and they're both wide awake. And they're totally different. And I mean, I have thousands and thousands of emails like that from people. And to me, that's what I tell people. Methodical Illusion was magic for waking people up. And I don't need to wake up a troll. They're not going to wake up anyway. They're under a bridge, little tiny stinkies. But, I mean, it's the man on the street. It's the lady in the kitchen in Ohio, man. It's that person that's going to go out and milk the cows tonight. They always thought something was wrong with the story, and God, it sure as heck was. And so you're going to know everything I know. And then you'll probably be thinking, oh, my God, I can't tell anybody this. So you don't. Just give them the books. Take yourself out of the equation. That's why I created Vera Hansen. By the way, people ask me this. Nothing about Vera Hansen is true about me. I am not her. She is not me. I mean, the only thing we had in common was that we were senior flight attendants, but I didn't have a girlfriend really die in Paris. I didn't live in Seattle.
You don't have a dog.
I don't have a dog. Never have had a dog. And she's just not me. I mean, she's a combination of a whole bunch of people that I knew through the industry.
And your husband didn't die in a motorcycle accident.
That's true. My husband did not die. And so got to keep in mind that this stuff is delivered through a novel, and it is, she is not me. I'm me, and she is not me. And I'm not all those other people Jim Fetzer would like to believe I am, or some other crazy troll. It's just a novel, but the 9/11 information is real. So if you have a question about it, you're welcome to email me. If you need to see some documents or find a place to go and read more, I'll be happy to direct you to do that. Because to me, I think people really should get into to understanding what really happened. Because again, we are so on the verge of a huge diversion like 9/11 was to us. And remember what happened? I mean, it caused the stock market to crash, and it caused the airlines to go practically go broke. Some of them did. It caused a lot of startup companies to go under. They weren't solid on their feet. There was a huge effect on our economy from that. Now we have this huge election coming up where we're either going to have Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. And well, I think we probably already know what's going to happen here. But something probably is going to happen to divert our attention and to divide us. So keep that in mind, because you will be divided. You cannot have a civil war in a country without hatred and division. And that's what the television does, and that's why they do it. Because, again, I'm going to repeat myself, if we are united as one people, then we have them outnumbered. They're less than 1%. But we keep hating on each other, even in the supposed 9/11 truth industry. Oh, and if they can't sell their books, they're going to hate on you. Well, tough, I guess. That's all I can say is tough because, well, the truth is out now. It's concluded. And so I guess there isn't a whole lot more to say, but I know there's going to be more to uncover, and I'll think of some new words to title those next books.
I'm here in Las Vegas. I've got something to say.
Okay, hear it.
You want to know how far we've progressed in 50 years?
Mm-hmm.
Kennedy was able to put men on the moon. Obama put men in the ladies' restroom.
I think we stepped backwards, didn't we?
Sounds like
it. Well, that's pretty crazy. So, wow, I have to think about that. Yeah, this whole bathroom thing, that was another diversion. And again, a split. Now,
and it won't be a show.
And it's a split between straight and gay or whatever they are. I mean, I don't mean it that way. Straight or gay or lesbian or transgender, or all of those names they have for the different other than straight group. So you see, there's more division, 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 division. And it is going to happen as long as you allow. So stop allowing it. Turn off the television. Go do something fun. Go meet some neighbors.
So where are you going on vacation, Rebecca?
You know, I've been to so many cool places. I might just pack up my RV and maybe head to Yellowstone.
That should be interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Someplace big.
Don't fall off the boardwalk.
No, I
won't. I heard somebody did that.
Yeah. So I don't know. I have to decide because it's just about time. And then I have to make arrangements to get all the books signed and mailed and shipped and all of that stuff.
Well, that's a full-time job right there.
Yes, it is. But so maybe it's not really a vacation. Life isn't really much of a vacation when you have to coordinate all of this stuff. But anyway, thank you for joining. We're just about out of time, and we'll wish you all a happy 4th of July and safe 4th of July. And I guess there's somebody said something about Brexiting for the United States, and we already did that.